Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. That all things are possible.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful that you are here. Lord, that is the most important part of a service, Father. And if you weren't, then there would be no point, Father, us to assemble ourselves together. So, Lord, as we look to your word tonight, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just speak to the people's hearts, speak to our hearts, Father. Help us to draw closer to you, Father, that we may be able to be a presentable bride that you would be pleased with when you would return. That is our heart's desire tonight, Father. May you be with us also, Father, as we approach your communion. May we just take these things with sincerity, Father. We pray now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Very good song. Marvelous Grace. I like that, Brother Christian. Brother Brian told me to slow down and to preach a little bit instead of read so much. So, if we don't get through this service, we'll just cut it in half and I'll do the rest later, okay? So, we're gonna let go a little bit. Not craziness, anything, don't get scared. Amen. But we want the Lord to lead. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And so I never had preached quite like this until I actually come to Ohio. In my earlier days as a youth leader, we had one or two quotes and a scripture, and that's all that we had. And we didn't per se go as strictly as we do now, which although this has been a growing part in my life. Amen. And as we get older in the Lord, we realize how important it is to say only what the prophet messenger has said. Amen. And that doesn't mean necessarily that we have to read it per word, but we do. Say means what you say. And say is what you do. Amen. It's not just words. It's actual life that we live. Amen.
Amen.
And I also did change my font. It's really big. So, if that's all right with you, it says 28 pages, but I think as big as it is, there's probably only 20. So, we're going to talk about revelation and faith. And I will say, over the last few months or weeks in the trials that have approached my family, I think that revelation and faith has become more clear. And you say, how is that? Even though you know it, you speak it. It's kind of like the when Brother Branham met Sister Meaty in heaven. She's like, you talked about it, you preached about it, but you just don't know until you actually get there. Well, in my case, until I've gotten to these trials, I didn't know what real revelation was, and I didn't really know what true faith was until you are in that situation, amen?
Amen?
And how important it really is. And I would imagine if my dad was here with us tonight, he's got one more day at the hospital on this treatment, that he would greet you and tell you thank you for the prayers. Until you're actually on the receiving end of prayers, brother, sister, you have no idea how much they mean.
Amen.
So, I pray all the time for other people, and I believe what I pray. But until you actually receive prayer and you know that the brothers and sisters are praying and they're actually being answered, it's impressive. It really is. It's like, it's a real growth. Maybe just for me, but I'll take it. Amen. Faith and revelation are like a quarter. They're the same coin. One side there's heads, and on the other side there's tails. Okay? it's the same coin though. Faith and revelation are kind of the same. And you'll see this when Brother Branham explains it. In Acts 3:16, when Peter was asked how the mighty miracle had taken place upon the crippled one at the gate beautiful, he explained it on this wise. And his Jesus name, through faith in his Jesus name, hath made this man, former cripple, strong. Yep. Yea, the faith which is by from him. Brother Branham corrects that translation just a little, if you notice. Yea, the faith which is by from him, Jesus, hath given him, the man, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Amen. So is it our faith? No, it's not. Listen to what he says. See, there it is. Jesus' name and Jesus' faith brought about that miracle. Peter did not claim it was his own human faith any more than he claimed that it was his own name. He said that Jesus' name used in the faith which is from Jesus performed that great work. This faith is what the Lord was speaking about. In Revelation 2:13, it was his faith. His faith. It was not faith in him. You say, I have faith in Jesus. I have faith in his word. That's fine. You can have faith in his word. But we don't have our own faith. We have faith in a work that was already done. Amen. In him. But it was his own faith that he had given to the believers. That's us. Romans 12:3. According as God hath dealt to every man according to verse 1, the men are brethren. The measure of faith. Ephesians 2:8. By grace are ye saved through faith. Let's read that backwards. I like doing things in reverse. How are you saved? By grace. And how do you accept that grace? By faith. Amen. And that faith is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So Brother Brian last Sunday talked about the will of the human flesh, of the person, of you. There's only one thing that you do have to do, brother and sister. God has given you a gift. No man cometh to the Father except for first I bid him to come, right? He comes to you via a preacher, a person on the side of the street, your child could even say something to you that would spark those things, right? It's a gift of God that he would knock on your door. Yep. But if you don't receive that gift, if you don't receive the gift of healing, if you don't receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you have to receive it, brother. You have to receive it, sister. If, like the painter that had the door with no doorknob, the doorknob is on the inside, right? You have to open it and say, I accept. You have to open the door and accept your healing. You have to open the door and accept your salvation. And it also says in James 2:1, my brethren, notice he too is talking to the brethren. Have not the faith of, not in, of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. Amen. God's not a respecter of persons. And the faith that he's talking of is of him, not in. And that's from the expedition of the seven church ages, the Pergamian church age. I started moving the title of the sermons to the front like Brian does. Well, guess what happens? As soon as you hit a button, that title ends up somewhere in my 28 pages, and then this thing moves here and it goes there. I've had that happen to me a couple times. I'm not doing it anymore. We'll do the name on the end. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. One of these days I'll figure it out. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body, and there is one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. We have one Lord. We have one faith. We have one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is above all and through you all. Amen?
Amen.
One Lord, one faith. My wife doesn't have one faith. I don't have another faith. We have one faith. That's his faith. Amen. The church, too, has departed from what she originally was. She is hybrid. That is, the church nominal is a hybrid. People say, I am Baptist. It wasn't so from the beginning. I am Methodist. It wasn't so in the beginning. Instead of the straight word of God, instead of the Spirit-filled men in the church who are led by Spirit-given revelation. There you are. No, now creeds and bylaws and the educated classes of the educated men. What do they do? Learning has taken the place of revelation. Reason has replaced faith. Program has replaced spontaneous praise in the Holy Ghost, and it wasn't so from the beginning. The whole species has changed. It has become a hybrid church. Now then, when the church becomes hybridized, will it produce pure Christians? It can't. Amen? Once you take a mare and a donkey and you have a baby and it produces a mule, that mule can never reproduce itself. That's it. The life or the seed that brings Christians to birth is not in them. Like the Baptists bring forth more Baptists, and they act like Baptists. Methodists bring forth Methodists, and they act like Methodists. No one is known by the power of God, nor can they be, for it is not there. You can't be what you ain't. Amen? Is that a word? There are known by their ceremonial worships. If, like Brother Branham said, if you talk to a person long enough, you'll know what denomination they are from. Amen?
Amen.
And their creeds and their dogmas. Amen? And that's from the Expedition of the Seven Church Ages, the Sumerian Church Age. And I would go to add this. And the so-called believers produce more so-called believers.
Yes.
Sad. It's turned into something Brother Branham wished he never would have wanted to see it that way. Amen? We are Christians. We act like Christians. We speak like Christians. Amen. The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Can I say that again?
Yeah.
Never be overemphasized. It is the most important thing that you can ever have or come in contact with. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I am not talking about the book of Revelation and you. I am talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Do you remember in Matthew 16 where Jesus asked the disciples this question? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now we've heard this a lot, I know. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. This is the first time in the entire Bible that the word church is mentioned. Do you know that? And what did Jesus say? And what did Brother Branham say? This is the greatest revelation that we're just talked about here. And who is he talking about? The church. Now, I don't mean to put emphasis on the church, but when you go back and read this quote, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the revelation, right? And why is that revelation so important to the church? We're going to read. The Roman Catholics say that the church is built upon Peter. Now, that is really carnal. Yeah. This has got to be from the Church Age book, don't you think?
Yeah.
That'd be Brother Vell saying something like that. How could God build the church upon a man so unstable that he denied the Lord Jesus and cursed while doing it? Can you imagine? Wow. I didn't know that. God can't build his church upon any man born in sin, and it wasn't some rock laying there as though God allowed the ground hollowed the ground at that spot. And it isn't, as Protestants say, that the church is built upon Jesus. Wow. You would think that might be the right answer, right? It was the revelation. Read it the way it is written. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but my Father hath revealed it. Same as your salvation, brother, sister. He came and knocked on the door. You either did or didn't open the door. Flesh and blood will reveal this to you about who? The church. But my Father hath revealed it. And upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church. He's building us, brother and sister, because I know I am his church. And so are you. The church is built on what? Revelation. And on thus saith the Lord. How did Abel know what to do in order to offer the proper sacrifice to God? By faith, he received the revelation. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a library of 1,200 sermons to go back and look at. 1,200 from Brother Vail, and now maybe more than 1,200 from Brother Brian. How did he know? How did he know that it was blood? Amen? It was revelation. And how do you have faith? You have faith in that revelation. Cain didn't get such a revelation, even though he had a commandment. So he couldn't offer the right sacrifice. It was a revelation from who? God, that made the difference and gave Abel eternal life. Now, you might take what the pastor says or what the seminary teaches, and though it may be taught to you with eloquence, until God reveals to you that Jesus is the Christ and that it is the blood that cleanses you and that God is your Savior, you will never have eternal life. Amen. So what is he saying? He's saying that if there is no seed in you to be quickened, you will not be quickened. Quickening is what? Revelation. It's a manifestation of divine truth. As soon as God speaks to you and you believe it, it manifests itself. That's revelation. So what is Christ doing in our day with the church? Is he manifesting himself through you and me? Or is it something of the past and the history? Jesus of 2,000 years ago? No. It's Christ now, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That revelation is manifesting in you, or it's not. I hope you get it. Christ, and that is the blood that cleanses you, and that God is your Savior. You will never have eternal life unless you... It is the supernatural revelation that does it. Amen. Expedition of the Seven Church Ages, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Cain was just as religious as Abel. They both built altars. They both loved God. They both made sacrifices. They both worshiped. They both paid tithe. They both done everything just alike. But Abel, by faith, which is the revelation. Hope you catch that. What is the revelation? Faith in what God has said. He said you're healed. That's it. Have faith in it. He said you're saved. Is the devil going to come along and tell you that you're not saved and you're going to believe him? Come on now. Is the devil going to come along and tell you that you're not healed? Come on. You have faith in the word and the promises of God. Amen. Made plain and showed out and vindicated. Glory. Cain made an offering, but God didn't vindicate it. God requires worship, and Cain made the offering, but God didn't vindicate it. But by the true channel, you say, well, my church is it my... Wait just a minute. God interprets his own word by its terms that he spoke it in. See, Cain said, I am religious. I am a lover of my maker. I offer to thee this fine altar. I offer to you this sacrifice. I built all these things up, Lord, because I love you. Abel said the same thing. Now it's the one that's vindicated, the one that's proven, the one that God allowed to be manifest, and God come down and received Abel's sacrifice. Because by revelation, faith, he had struck the true channel of God that was accepted. Amen. Amen. That's from God's only provided place of worship in 65. Why is it so hard for people just to worship God the way he asked to be worshiped? It's boring, right? To the average person. It's boring to be true to your brother and sister. It's boring to not do something like steal, cheat, lie to the average person. It's boring, right? God asked to be worshiped in a specific way, amen? No, it's got to be of my own will and idea. So that was Cain. His own will and his own idea was like, this is the best. There's nothing compares to this. It's beautiful. It's perfect. The first fruits of everything that he had done, yet it wasn't what God required. It wasn't what he asked for. Amen. Brother Bram says, her eyes had seen beyond his criticism. She believed he was. See the word of the prophets. She knowed that was all the words of the prophets was vindicated in him. I believe he's talking about the woman at the well. She had heard he was on earth, but now she sees him. Watch what she done. She seen the word made flesh, the Messiah, the Emmanuel. When she gave vent to her pulsation of faith, of revelation of who he was, in that time she was living, that he was God's Lamb for such sinners as she was. She went forth to serve his needs without knowing how she would do it. That's the way a genuine healing comes. When it's revealed to you that he was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquity, and with his stripes you were healed. Amen. Amen. When it's inspired to you, see, his presence here of St. Mark 11 and St. Luke 17:30 that he's going to reveal himself in the last days among his people in human flesh, like he did before Sodom. When you see that and something strikes you, then that's true revelation. How I've heard, but now I see in 65. Now that's the way every believer, no matter how bad the cancer's got you, how long you've been sitting in a wheelchair, any of those things, just if you can grasp the revelation from God, then be satisfied knowing that it's going to happen. Because faith waits patiently for the promise. Amen. I have heard, but now I see from 65. So Job, he's a good example, checking himself with the genuine faith that God had given him that he was just. In his condition, he probably didn't feel so just in his human body. You know, boils, years, I don't know how long was Job on the ash heap? A long time, right? Didn't feel like God was hearing his prayer, right? But he had a revelation that he was just and that his Redeemer lived. That he had done everything that God required him to do. He knew that there were no unchecked balances or things in his life that would hinder God from delivering his promise. Now, when we're going to be prayed for our sickness, I wonder if we have done everything that God requires us to do. Have we followed every iota of Scripture? Now, that isn't something to say that you have to do anything. God's already done that for you. Amen? But it is your job to go back through and evaluate your life and make sure that there is nothing there that would stand in the way of your prayer. Or the brothers and sisters' prayer. What's the reason you want to be healed? Has God revealed to you why you need to be here longer? That sounds cruel, doesn't it? But God has a purpose for you here, brother, sister. Is he done with that purpose? Or does he have something else for you to do? Right? So find his will, right? What's the reason you want to be healed? That's the reason you can't get faith. Now, enough to see, because you haven't maybe made that thing to God sincerely from your heart, like Hezekiah did. When the prophet walked in and said, "You're dying. Get your house in order. You're heading out." That's a shock, right? He begged and pleaded before God that he needed more time for this and that and this. And he laid before God. Guess what? As a prophet, can you imagine God telling you to turn around and go back and tell him the opposite? A little demeaning, actually, to a man with any pride, right? But he did. That's the reason you can't get faith enough. See, because you haven't maybe made this thing with God sincere in your heart like Hezekiah did. Give God the reason he wanted to set his kingdom in order. And God granted it. And God sent his prophet back and told him he'd be healed. See, but you have to have those things made right first. So then as soon as you get to these places and know that it's been revealed to you, by the word of God, by the revelation, by the word that God requires you to do, then you have faith, genuine faith. Why? How do you have genuine faith? We read it before. It isn't our faith. It's his. He already did it. So if he shows you something in his word and says that you're going to be here and do that, you put your stake down. Amen? You claim it. I have heard, but now I see from 65. Now, you see, when a man or a person has once really come into contact with God with that genuine revealed faith, who is that? Christ. That God is. There's nothing, no time, nowhere can ever separate that man from his God. I believe it was Paul said, there's no strife, there's no hunger, there's no perils, neither living creatures or death or anything that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You are securely anchored in him because you were ordained to that life. But Satan, though he could twist him around a little bit and cuff him up and make him do it, but you see, Job, with his perfect revelation of God and who God was and how God loved him, he waited. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:1. That's what you see at the tabernacle above the podium. Be still and know that I am God. That was Job's perfect faith. He knew who God was. I ask you tonight, do you know who God is right now in our midst? What was the greatest revelation that he built his church on? Amen. Think about it, brother, sister. I can't just tell you. Who God was and how God loved him, he waited. No matter what the circumstances was, he waited for his faith to be confirmed. Because he had a grip on God, a revelation that I spoke of last night. Now, when the sick people that's in the building and the crippled people or you that have a need of God, when you can get that type of revelation that you are justified in asking God for that healing or that deliverance, then you can stake on it. Nothing's going to make you move. When you are actually justified in asking the thing that you're asking for, and believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him after him. Amen. There's nothing can ever separate you from that faith. So if God came to you in a supernatural way and he told you something, something's going to happen, and you've seen that happen, and then a little while later, the same God comes back to you and tells you something. Are you going to doubt what he told you? Say, that was just a coincidence. Once got that right. Would you be foolish, right? To deny, to not listen to him, right? There's nothing can ever separate you from that faith that's anchored in you. See, but first it has to be revealed to you. I have heard, but now I see, from 65. Then the works that the Holy Spirit is doing today, by these visions never failing, promised never failing, all the apostolic signs promised in the Bible, of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7, all of that is being fulfilled and proved by the scientific, every other way. And if I haven't told you the truth, these things would have not happened. But if I have told you the truth, they bear record that I've told you the truth. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is he the same that he was when Brother Branham was here that he is right now in this congregation? You better believe it. God does not change. He may change his mask. He was there in a prophet, right? What is he in here now? Yes, in you and I. And the manifestation of his spirit is catching away a bride. Let that faith, that revelation fall into your heart, that this is the hour. Works as faith expressed in 65. Notice, remember, he had no Bible to read from. He didn't have it as easy as we got it today to read his word and see others who've took it. Remember, he only had it by revelation. And that's the real thing. Same as it was by Joseph in Genesis. There was no Bible, remember? Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. None of those characters in there had any Bible to read till after Moses. Is that right? They didn't have a Bible that we got to help us along in our crippled condition. They were rugged men who was revealed to them by God, and they stood right there. Nothing moved them. Now, do you think that we can still have that rugged faith? Sure, if it's revealed to you. Amen. Now, are we getting to the point here? This is where I'm heading to at the end. The rapture is a revelation, brother, sister. I said that the last time, last Sunday. He expressed his faith by his revelation, because it was revealed to him that he knowed who he would baptize. This is talking about John the Baptist. He was a man, 30 years old. He knew that he had to be there somewhere. He had never known who he was, and there he was standing right among them. He said, "There is one standing among you now who you know not, and I am not worthy to loose the latches on his shoes, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and he's right among you now." He expressed it, his faith, because he knowed in his day he was to see and baptize God's Messiah. That was a revelation to John. Amen. So you see, the people could see the expression upon him in a way that he was preaching and the way that he was acting was expressing that he had a true revelation of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, sister, you have a ministry. Every single one. God's body is not going to be a tit, you know, tore here and a tore there. It will be jointly fitted together. Amen. Each person has a job to do. Have you found that revelation? That's your job. Works as faith expressed again in 65. Are we expressing the revelation of our day? Are we manifesting Christ? That God, that would make him happy. It wasn't just for Brother Branham. That promise that Peter spoke about of Christ was talking about us. And if God would just spoke that right down in their heart tonight and said, "You're not going to be laying in that bed. You're not going to be sitting in that chair. You're going to be well." There couldn't be anything change your mind in it. But until that's happened, every preacher in the world could pray. I don't say it don't help you. It would. It encourages you. Amen. Like I said, you can feel the prayers when they're aimed your way. But until that faith, what? Revelation. See, the healing power is in you already. God put the seed in you from the beginning of the foundation of the world. The healing's already there. The salvation was already there. You just have to realize it. It didn't come from the preacher. It comes to you by revelation, by faith, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. My spirit, by grace, reveals this to you, and there's nothing can take it away. By faith, revelation, and then David to prove his works. Amen. Works is faith expressed in 65. Brother Branham's titles are very good. I like them. How, if you say that you have faith and you have no works, it's dead, right? You don't have what you say. Jesus said that no man can come to me except the Father draws him first. Amen. Amen. And all that the Father has given me will come. No man can understand who he is or how it is except it be revealed to you by the revelation of God. And then faith in that revelation, you act accordingly. Here we see plainly that God is revealed in Jesus, and only those who were foreordained to see it will see it. Amen. Can you see Christ in the church tonight? I hope you can. I hope that you can see faith in Christ in the church. In an audience of people where a prayer line comes through, you'll find, and they were all good people, will say, there's some that's trying hard to believe it, trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace. It's just given to them. Now, there is the difference. See, that does it. That's the real revelation, because faith is a revelation from God. It must be revealed to you first. You must also then accept it and confess it. Like Brother Brian said many times in the sermon I preached while he was in the hospital, speak and go forward. If Moses would have only spoke and not stepped into the water, his Red Sea would have not parted. If God reveals to you your salvation or your healing, and you don't accept it and then say, I am saved, I am healed, and then step into it, it's not going to happen, brother. And it's not going to happen, sister. All right. So the purple here, in my search, I reversed my search. I like reverse. Faith, revelation, and faith. And the revelation is the only thing, the revelation of the word. What is a revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Let's reiterate. Do you realize how strong that foundation is? It's so important. Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you. Abel, by faith, offered by revelation, faith offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. And that's from the invisible union of the bride of Christ. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her. Okay? This is where I've been driving for the last 6-7 sermons. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. He just gives you the answer right there. Did you read it again? Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. It's like, how can it be that simple? Can it really be that simple? Yeah, it can. You can't have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham. That could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Take a 90-year-old person and an 80-year-old wife, and you're going to have a baby. So that's what the world thinks of us, right? They think we're going in a rapture. You're nuts, right? That's what the world says to you. You are off your rocker. You're going to die just like the rest of us, right? I have news for you. We ain't.
That's
right. Is it revealed to you? As though it wasn't so. Now, faith, that's what faith is. It's the revelation of God. So, back to what Jesus said. upon this rock will I build my church. Now, faith, that's what faith is the revelation of God. It's Christ, right? Christ was in his Son. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the who he was building, right? The church. That's how important it is. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. And that's from the rapture in 65. Now you see, you can be ever so sincere and yet be wrong. You can be wrong. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end of thereof is the ways of death. Now we see that this was so true with Cain and Abel. And Cain saw that Abel's sacrifice was received. And I might stop here and to say, why did God receive his sacrifice? Why did God receive his worship? It's because that he was, by a revelation, he understood that it was not apples. Or I believe now they got it down to pomegranates or something like that they eat in the Garden of Eden that caused sin. And he found Abel, I believe that it was the blood, which it really was. And Abel, by revelation, faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified by it. He was righteous, see, and the whole church is built upon a divine revelation of the Word of God. Amen. And the whole. Does God change his mind about his Word in 65? I'm going to stop here for just a second. Abel, by revelation, faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified by it he was. What did Abel offer back to God besides an actual bloody lamb? What did he offer back? It was a revelation, right? He offered back God his own word. He offered back a perfect sacrifice. Yep. So when you need healing from God, how do you approach him? How does that revelation happen? You speak back his own words. Yep. Right. To him. How can he deny his own word? He can't. He can't deny you healing. He can't deny you salvation if it's been offered to you. I hope you catch it. Yep. Oh, man. He's here. Can you feel him? Now, all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into his church. Who are we? It's that important, brother, sister. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood has never revealed this to you, and never learned this by going to a seminary. You see, never learned this by some man-made affair. But by my Father, which is in heaven, he has revealed it to you, see? Upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Amen. When Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, and Satan tempted him, what did he say? It is written. Yep. He gave him back his Father's word. You can't cross that line. The spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Then it would be the spiritual revelation, truth of his Word, is exactly where the church rests. I rest there. Does God change his mind about his word in 65? Now, that's the question. Here it is where I wanted to get to in Revelation 10. We'll get it in a few minutes to another scripture refer. He said, in the days of the message of the seventh angel, the mystery of God ought to be finished. Read it again. In the days of the message of the seventh angel, who was that? Brother Branham, right? The mystery of God ought to be finished, right? Was it? Here's the question. Is, if you follow in the line in this hour, will it be finished? It's a question. Will I find faith? Malachi 4 has been fulfilled in this time. Restore the faith of the children, that's us, back to the faith of the fathers, the original word.
Yeah.
Is it finished, brother, sister? He's working on it. But in who? That's right. As I've said before, we have a work to do. The anointed ones at the end time of 65. Luke 7, 8 through 10. For I also, as a man set under authority, he's talking about the centurion, under me soldiers. And I say to one, go, and to another, come. And he cometh unto the servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sent, been sick. What's the point here? Will he find faith when he returns?
Yeah.
If he doesn't, you whoever does not have that faith is not going to be in that rapture. What is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Don't get impatient. Remember that one quote. Wait upon the Lord. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, the anointed ones at the end time. We're getting to the end here. Well, now, brother, if the works of Luke 17th chapter and 30th verse, the promise of Jesus Christ has just before his coming that the world would turn back to the Sodom and the messengers would go out and the things would be done just exactly. If that isn't taking place, then don't believe that I have told you the truth. But if it is taking place, then believe that it is him.
Yeah.
In that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. Amen. Thank the Lord for a man that could yield himself to God and allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. The Son of Man will be revealed in a body of flesh also, you people,
yeah,
the church. Just exactly like it was before the days of Sodom, a called out group away from all of them, setting out. And what are they doing? They're believing the promise of God. They're believing that revelation that was given to them. Then the works that the Holy Spirit is doing today by these visions, never failing, promises never failing, all the apostolic signs promised in the Bible of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7, all of that is being fulfilled and proved by scientific in every other way. And if I haven't told you the truth, these things would have not happened. But I have told you the truth, that they bear record that I have told you the truth. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the manifestation of his spirit is catching away a bride.
Amen.
What did the angel say to Brother Branham when he met him on the river? Your message will forerun the second coming. Brother Branham's ministry was dual-faced like that quarter. On one hand, he was able to yield himself to the Holy Spirit and express the sign of the Messiah, right? The hearts of the people. And on the other side, he was yesterday, today, and the manifestation of the Spirit is catching away a bride, right? So your message will forerun the second coming. He knew that. What are we in? We're in that age, that bride age, where the manifestation that's in the church, the body, is reaching out to the churches. He said a church from within a church, right? I still believe that missionary work is super important. Going out on the streets, being a sidewalk prophet, all of those things. But that's the remnant, brother or sister, at this point, I believe. Okay? The church from within a church is where he reaches out to the Pentecostal group. He reaches out to the Baptist group. And he knows that those are his seed that have been misplaced. And he calls them out and brings them in, right? Separate yourself from them. And what is that doing? It's catching away a bride. Your message will forerun the second coming. That's what it's doing. It's manifesting itself right now. Let that faith, that revelation fall into your heart that this is the hour, brother, sister. Now let us pray. This is just, I'm going to read the entire prayer. It's really good. And then this is the closing. Dear God, who was manifested in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, that raised up from the dead the third day according to the scriptures and ascended on high and set the disciples out to disciple all the world and said, these signs shall follow them that believe. God, to the Pentecostal church of this day, the restoration of the gifts, may, Lord, those men, maybe some of them may present here, some of them hearing the tape around the world, he's talking to us, may they realize that this is the calling out of the bride. Not a Pentecostal message. The Pentecostal message was to restore the gifts back to the church. But this is the calling forth of the bride, another message. And that was to come just before Sodom was to be burned. Let them understand, dear God, faith, I believe this because it's revealed by your Spirit through the word of God and has been vindicated and made manifest to the whole world. Certainly, Lord, in the minority, always. Your groups are always that way. But you said, fear not, little flock. It's for your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. So I pray, God, that may man will look away from their intellect, look away from what they might think is right, and look into the scripture. And it was spoken last night, let the people here think like the queen did in the days of the great destruction of Babylon. She said, there is a man among you named Daniel, was in your father's kingdom, the Pentecostal father was in his kingdom. And he is a dissolver of all doubts. And now, Lord, let the Holy Spirit that was in the Pentecostal kingdom, the kingdom that was Martin Luther, was John Wesley, and on through John Smith, Alexander Campbell, and down through the age, he's the dissolver. He dissolved the thoughts and the people that's in the days of Luther, that man. The just should live by faith. The Methodists, he dissolved all the doubts that they should be sanctified. And in the days of the Pentecost, they spoke in tongues and given manifestation of the Spirit by divine healing and so forth. It dissolved all doubts in the Pentecostals, right? Heart. But, oh God, they denominated. They went right back out to take man's ideas. Therefore, now, when the bride is being called as you've promised in here in the scripture, reading it before the world night after night, we watch it with our eyes. God, may it dissolve all the doubts in the people's hearts. May they flee quickly to the open sun to be ripened and be taken into the garner and not be left to be burned. But may they go into the garner tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And that's my prayer also tonight. Amen. Make sure that you are doing the Father's business. And what is that? Finding that last seed. That is the greatest hunt of all time, brother and sister. Because when that happens, when we get the last one in, I don't care who it is. It ain't got to be me. But when the last one comes in, God will close that door and we'll be gone.
Amen.
But he will wait patiently for that last sheep. And you say, one? He would delay the 99 to go over right now just to keep that one, to find that one? He would. Amen. God bless you, brothers, if you would come.